This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Gil Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You are looking live at the Poppy exhibit, a temporary exhibit here at the National Mall for Memorial Day. You're looking at more than 645,000 poppies. This is 133 feet long, 8.5 feet tall, and we have been seeing people stream in and out all morning, early afternoon, to pay their respects to all the lives lost in our armed forces. And right across from us, right across from the US, and over the Potomac River from where we are, lies Arlington National Cemetery, home to some of America's fallen heroes. We went on a guided tour of some of the most famous grave sites ahead of Memorial Day. Take a look.
This holiday was designed for friends and family of the fallen to come out to national cemeteries and decorate the graves of the Civil War dead.
You'll see five branches of service, multiple denominations of religious officiants, and families coming, gathering here at Arlington National Cemetery to pay that final respect to a veteran who served our nation.
President Truman, he mandated that all burial space in national cemeteries that were opened after 1948, there'd be no segregation of any type. Many people know about President Kennedy's burial here, but he's actually our second presidential burial. First is William Howard Taft. He had a very distinguished career in his own right. Public service. Jimmy Doolittle, the famous United States Air Force, United States Army Air Corps, four-star general. You have Joe Lewis, the Brown Bomber, the boxer who was served in World War II. Brigadier Marshall, the first African-American on the Supreme Court. Stuart Rosa, an Apollo astronaut, is buried here. The Columbian Challenger memorials are located here, as well as some of the astronauts themselves. Pappy Boyington, 26 shootdowns in World War II, a Marine Corps fighter pilot, an ace, Congressional Medal of Honor recipient, POW during the war as well. Tomb of the Unknown, dedicated November 11th, 1921. It originally had the remains of an unknown American soldier from the First World War. Subsequently, we've interred an unknown from the Second World War, the Korean conflict, and the Vietnam War.
Every headstone at Arlington is visited four times a year. When we place flags in, flags out. Most are in awe of the honors that our nation renders to those that have served our nation, those that have fallen in combat. It's a tremendous event to see the military honor guard with the precision for which they render the final salute, the military funeral salute to the veteran. We say here at Arlington that honors speak when words can't.
Truly a peaceful and a somber place to visit. There are 400,000 people buried in Arlington National Cemetery, and every year they see upwards of 3 million people visiting. I suspect this weekend is one of their most busiest times, and of course a very somber time at the cemetery.
Not only in Arlington, but at grave sites all across this country of ours on this hallowed day. As you know, for years, it has been a challenge for me when we think about Memorial Day. You know, it's, I guess, in the tradition, we so easily say Happy Memorial Day, but I cannot get out of my heart and mind the families that have suffered, the lives that have been put on the line for us to be able to go out and enjoy a barbecue and time with our family. And there are some families that are without their loved one. And that loved one paid the ultimate price. And we say the loved one, but I say the families as well, because they pay that price that keeps on paying, right? I mean, how do you sit there and say, okay, I paid the price, that's it's done. But the family that's left behind, they're the ones their hearts are still breaking, I would think. You know, how do you deal with that? In our family, we're so fortunate. You know, though my father served in World War II, and three of us served during the Vietnam era, we were blessed and grateful that there some of our friends did not come back, and they paid the ultimate price. And we're going to talk more about Memorial Day a little bit later on. We've got Bruce Kaufman coming on, our favorite historian. And we'll talk about, you know, how it all began. Started out as Decorations Day. And in 1868, after the Civil War, it was determined that we should honor those who died fighting for the United States. We've got more coming up. Stay with us.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Getting America back on track. Yeah. Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Steve Cortez joins us now, a CNN commentator, and lots on the docket to discuss. Steve, appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on the show.
You bet, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, as a former Trump campaign operative, you've got to be very mindful of all the activity coming out of the Beltway regarding the FBI. And you say that it is time to fire Rosenstein now.
You know, I really think it is. And I, you know, I have to tell you, yeah, I take particular, I mean, I think any American should be offended at what went on under the Obama Department of Justice, but I'm particularly offended as somebody who gave so many hours and worked so hard as part of the campaign. And the idea, first of all, that we were cooperating with any foreign entity is patently absurd on its face. And I can tell you that, you know, from both public information and from what I know within the campaign. But more importantly, for all Americans, whether you like Trump or not, this investigation, to me, has it all backwards, meaning that it's an investigation in search of a crime.
Yes.
And so I think it was poisoned from the beginning. That's illogical. It's unreasonable. It's very un-American. It's the way investigations are launched in Stalinist-like countries, not in places like the United States. But even moreover, even if you were to accept that it was the foundation of the investigation was valid, which I don't think it was, but even if I were to grant that, the actual execution of the investigation then, I think has been also just deplorable, to borrow a term from our political opponent, in 2016.
Right.
And particularly so Rod Rosenstein. He is supposed to be overseeing Mueller, and he has shown, no ability to rein Mueller in any sense. Mueller is literally taking this investigation that was supposed to be about Russian interference, something very specific, and instead he is literally trying to turn over every stone in Donald Trump's life and the lives of people who are friendly with Donald Trump. So he's gone so far beyond the scope of the initial investigation. He answers to no one because of the fact that the attorney general's recused. He has no congressional oversight. And Rod Rosenstein is either asleep at the wheel through incompetence, or he's doing it very purposefully. And I suspect very cynically that the latter is true. But in either case, I think he needs to be fired, and he needs to go. He's too conflicted, too corrupted. And the president, I think the least messy and risky political way to try to get a hold of this mess is to fire Rod Rosenstein.
Well, you know, when you think about Jeff Sessions, who's been missing in action, terribly so here, Steve, and at a time
right.
when we really need an attorney general, our attorney general now has become Rod Rosenstein.
Right. I totally agree. And listen, Sessions has been such a disappointment. I noticed yesterday, Rod Rosenstein, if you happen to watch the MS-13 roundtable in Long Island, New York, Rosenstein was actually there with the president, and Jeff Sessions wasn't. You know, all the top brass of our law enforcement community were there, the head of DHS, Secretary Nielsen, the head of ICE, Tom Holman, and then Rosenstein. And I just thought, now listen, maybe Sessions had a great reason to not be there, but it struck me that you know, he's been missing in action for a long time. He's been AWOL. I mean, has this guy been kidnapped? Mm-hmm. Where is Sessions? And, you know, but kidding aside, it's really important, right? Because I also think Sessions, if he were honorable, and he knows he's not doing his job, and I guess to some extent he can't because of refusing himself, he should step down. I don't want him to be fired only because I think that's a much bigger political risk for the president, and trying to get a new attorney general confirmed would just be hell on wheels, particularly before the midterms. It just wouldn't happen. So I don't think it makes sense to fire him, but boy, I sure wish he would buck up. And for instance, one thing he could do is say anything that doesn't have to do with Russia, for example, this Cohen stuff, Michael Cohen, I am going to engage in oversight, and I can oversee the Mueller probe in those regards. You know, so like, for instance, was this raid on Michael Cohen, who, by the way, seems like he did some pretty scummy stuff, none of it in cahoots with Trump, but seems like he was up to no good. But was this raid valid? Did they really have enough reason to go and raid not just an attorney, which is unusual, but the president's attorney, which is incredibly unusual? You know, that's the kind of thing where Sessions should have at least had oversight and maybe said, no, we're not going to go there.
Well, why didn't he stand up when, you know, it seems rather obvious, Steve, as you just pointed out, that this thing has been poisoned from the start. And there's even some question in terms of some legal standing for Mueller because of Rosenstein, the conflict of interest. Doesn't he have a point of standing to say, look, if this thing is so compromised, I'm unrecusing myself. All bets are off. I am back in the fight here. I'm taking over. This is what the president has chosen me to do, to be the attorney general, and I need to step back in.
Right. You know, and look, I'm not a lawyer. I think that there are, from what I'm told by lawyers, some legal problems with sort of unrecusing. But if he can do it, yes, he should. I think the cleaner solution at this point is he needs to step aside. I mean, and I think he's an honorable guy. I think he was an excellent senator. Right. I don't understand what's gotten into his thinking and why he thinks that this is okay and that he's serving the country and the president well. I don't know what the guy does every day for that matter.
Well, Steve, so, you know, the problem is that with all this cabal going on, in upper management of the FBI, from Rosenstein to McCabe, you know, go on down the line here, they've forced us to put kind of tinfoil hats on ourselves. I've often say on the show that in the absence of fact, opinion rules. We got a lot of opinions flying around here, and it doesn't look good, and it almost makes you wonder the way the FBI has been operating, what they did to Michael Flynn, on down the line and to other people involved with the Trump campaign here, it makes you wonder if they've got pictures or they got something on Sessions that keeps him cordoned off somewhere.
Yeah, you know, and like you, I hate to go down the conspiracy roads, right? But we don't have to go down conspiracy, you know, theories or chase them down to know that the leadership of the DOJ and FBI under Obama was incredibly compromised. I mean, we know it about McCabe. I think we know it about Comey, a very dishonest man who leaked rather than stand up like a man and tell the public what he thought. If he thought it was this important, why didn't he tell the American public rather than leak it to his friend, to leak it to the press? And, you know, and many more examples, of course, you know, what we know about the Strzok and Page text, and it just unfortunately goes on and on. And you know, the real shame of that is, my gosh, I am not anti-FBI. The president certainly isn't. Thousands of really brave men and women doing hard work for not a lot of money, taking a lot of risk to protect us. And they, most of all, I think, have been really have been embarrassed by the leadership and betrayed by the leadership of the FBI. And unfortunately, this leadership was incredibly politicized. And by the way, over at the other national security agencies too, people like Clapper and Brennan, very dishonest people, clearly with an agenda against the president while they were in office. And I think have acted pretty shamelessly since leaving office, the way they are, as public as they are, as antagonistic as they are toward the president, and by the way, also employed by mainstream media outlets now, which I think stinks. That, you know, that alone, I think, is a pretty bad optic for the American people.
Right. Well, Clapper has given us now a whole new excuse that instead of lying now, we just say, well, I thought you were asking another question.
Right.
Is that ridiculous?
And that's so invalid, by the way. Yeah, he tried to get away with that at the View of saying, like, as if he was sort of technically incorrect rather than just lying. If you actually go and look, and that was a Democrat, by the way, Senator Wyden from Oregon, who asked him that question. The question was extremely broad. He didn't ask about a specific program. He just said, are you collecting data on millions of Americans? It was a very, very broad sort of blue sky question, and his answer was no. So there's no way he can somehow twist that into a non-lie.
Steve, we got to go to break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Cortez with the CNN commentator right after this.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Steve Cortez with us, CNN commentator, former Trump campaign operative. Steve, before the break, we were talking about James Clapper. Another kind of disconnect with him was, if you remember, when he was giving his testimony on the Hill, he said very clearly that he did not believe one vote was altered whatsoever because of the Russian meddling. Now, today, right. He's saying something different.
Right. No, well, I think because now it's convenient for his narrative. And I also think, by the way, he and even more so John Brennan, former CIA director, I think they're a little worried perhaps about their legal jeopardy because, you know, exactly. The more sunlight we shine on this whole group of people at the top of the Obama national security apparatus and law enforcement apparatus, the more sunlight we see, the more cockroaches it seems to come out. It's like we turned on the lights and suddenly we're seeing a lot of cockroaches. And I think some of these folks are not just in ethical trouble, you know, because they acted miserably and betrayed our trust. But I think some of them might actually be in some legal and criminal trouble. And
exactly.
Quite frankly, I hope so, because we need to have severe penalties if they use the shroud, the excuse of national security to use the power of government to engage in partisan politics. I mean, look, what we already know about the way they spied on our campaign, I think is reprehensible. I mean, the idea that if they were truly concerned about Russian interference and that Russia was going to somehow corrupt the Trump campaign, the right thing to do is to tell the campaign,
exactly.
You know, be on watch. Mm-hmm. We're watching these people. You know, if they contact you, contact us, right? I mean, that's the way you would do it, because you would be respectful of, there's a certain sanctity to an opposition party campaign. At least there should be, right? Ever since Watergate, you know, we would think we'd be doubly careful about that idea, right? But instead, what did they do? They chose to spy, first electronically, and then with humans. And you know, everybody keeps going crazy saying the president's nuts for calling us a spy. I mean, look,
right.
Look, when you send somebody in with an agenda, and by the way, very likely pay them, and send them in secretly, covertly with an agenda to try to make contacts with and learn information about the Trump campaign, and he's not an honest actor, he's not actually interested, and he's working at the behest of the FBI, I don't know what you call that besides a spy.
Yeah, exactly. And James Clavier goes, well, I don't like to say that word, you know. And he just traps himself all the more. And the thing is, it's amazing to me, Steve. This is a smart guy. This is a three-star general, former three-star general that we're talking about here, a director of national intelligence, and his responses are suddenly so juvenile. You're thinking, what happened to his connection with his own intelligence here?
Right. No, I agree, and it's a sad I think commentary though on what the Washington system, the swamp, did to a lot of people who probably were really good people. Listen, right. I respect his military background, of course, but I think a lot of people who maybe went there with good intentions became very corrupted by the power of the swamp.
Yeah, no doubt.
And a lot of Republicans are in that camp, by the way, because I can't stand too constantly when I'm on CNN, they throw at me, well, you know, Mueller's a registered Republican, Comey is, all these other people. I said, what the heck does that mean? I mean,
exactly.
There are so many registered Republicans who are, you know, up to their eyeballs in the swamp. Doesn't mean a thing.
I thought Mueller declared himself as an independent. Maybe a one-time Republican, but he says that he's an independent is what I hear.
Gotcha. In any case, you know what I mean? That is throwing me quite a bit.
No,
but here's the other thing. Here's the good news, I think, Bill, because, you know, we can obviously, and rightfully so, we can complain for a lot about what's going on. But the good news is, too, I think the American people are starting to see this, and it's not just my opinion. If you look, there's a CBS poll that came out last week, and it asked, is the Mueller probe, and they've been asking this question for months, is the Mueller probe primarily political? And that number has been ticking up and up and up for weeks and months. And for the first time now, the majority of the people, 53% per CBS, so not some conservative poll,
right.
53% of the people say that this probe is purely political. So I think people are catching on. I think there's an exhaustion, quite frankly, among a lot of people. If you're not really political, you're just sick of hearing about this.
Right.
But on the flip side, what are you not sick of hearing about? Economic growth. We have a great story to tell. So I think we're starting to see the beginning of the end of the Mueller nonsense, and we're seeing a shift over to what really matters to the vast majority of Americans, who aren't hyper-focused on what happens in the Beltway, but they're really focused on what happens with their checkbook and their families and their job security. And all of that is getting massively better under this president.
Yeah, we're back to that old saying, you know, are you going to believe your
you know, your lying eyes, or, you know, what are you going to believe in here? I mean, the practicality of it all is that Trump is winning. And when Trump wins, we win. And, you know, people have more money coming out of their checks. And no matter what the mainstream media and fake news would want to say, the reality is they have more money to spend.
Right.
And so there's a lot to be happy about. Unemployment, something that you had commented about before was about, look what's happening with Latinos and the unemployment rate, all-time low. I mean, the lowest it's been in at least 20 years now that I'm aware of.
Right. That's correct. And it is. And not only that, I wrote an article about this as well on Real Quick Politics. There have been 7 months ever in U.S. history where Hispanics had unemployment rates under 5%. Six of those 7 months have been in the last year under the leadership of President Trump. I find that just amazing. Great news for our community, but great news for America, too.
Exactly.
And it's the kind of thing that they don't want to talk about. I'll give you a good example of how they try to twist the news. I was on CNN last night. Mm-hmm. And the topic was the MS-13 roundtable, and talk about an issue that's important to Hispanics. You know, MS-13 in general terrorizes Hispanic Americans,
exactly.
Right? I mean, those are just communities where they are.
You're getting these young kids and young girls. I mean, it's disgusting what's
going
on.
So, you know, they try to paint Trump as anti-Hispanic by attacking MS-13. It's actually the inverse. But when we covered this story, instead of actually talking about the substance of, you know, what's the president doing, what did he want changed, they, believe it or not, Bill, on CNN, they took it to Russia. I mean, how in the world are we taking this? And the way they did was because Kirstjen Nielsen, the DHS secretary, was at the meeting, of course, and she's been real strong on this issue of MS-13. The day before, she gave a kind of twisted answer to CNN about how much Russia influenced our election. So that was enough of a hook for them to say, we're going to not talk MS-13 and the substance of the meeting. Instead, we're going to somehow make this even about Russia. And I just kind of exploded. I was like, this is such nonsense. I mean, let's talk about what matters to people's lives, which, by the way, MS-13, where they operate, places like Long Island, Northern Virginia, that matters to America's lives, not Russian ghosts that we're trying to chase.
Well, Steve, after everything is all said and done here, everything that Trump has said, and I know that's a broad statement to say everything, but most of what he said, at least, whether it has to do with spying, the deep state, fake news, he's been more right than wrong, has he not?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's one thing that I've certainly learned in my time working for Trump and now sort of unofficially working for him is, he'll occasionally say things, but I've learned to just believe him. He'll say things that seem a little out there. And you will think to yourself, you can scratch your head a little bit and say, who's getting that? How does he know that? And then sure enough, it might take a few weeks, might take a few months, but sure enough, you'll find out he wasn't nutty at all. Whatever he said actually ends up being the reality. And so he has, number one, amazing information, particularly now that he's president. But number two, he's just got great instincts. I mean, he really does. I mean, I can see why he was so successful in business and why he's now being so successful as president. So I trust his instincts. And when he says something or tweets something now that I don't quite get, I caution myself internally, have patience. He's probably right.
Wait and see. Well, he is no doubt the CEO's CEO. We have been long suffering for a true chief executive officer in the Oval Office. And look what we've got. Our economy is turning around. Enthusiasm is high on the international stage. Look what's going on. And even today with the announcement that he's called off the North Korean summit. But stay tuned. There's more details coming. And some will see and have said, this is all part of the deal. It's about negotiating the right position, isn't it?
Right. Absolutely. And listen, I'm proud of him, because if the North Koreans weren't cooperating, as we're told by Secretary Pompeo, we hold the cards here. They're the ones who are in the corner. Now, we'd like to let them out of the corner, you know, given the right circumstances, but he has them in an economic corner because of the maximum pressure that he's put on them, and because he got China, who all along should have been helping us and wouldn't, use the leverage of trade on China to convince them to do the right thing. I mean, it's perfect negotiations. And listen, I'm still optimistic that Kim Jong-un has no choice. If he wants to survive, he's going to have to moderate and become somewhat normalized. So I still am optimistic that will happen. But Trump proved he's not going to give away the farm to do it.
Exactly. And one quick parting thought here, and we've been saying this for a while, keep your eyes on President Xi. I think he's murking up the waters, just between you and me. CNN political commentator Steve Cortez with us on Bill Martinez Live. Steve, thank you so much. Appreciate the time, buddy. Take care.
Thank you, Bill.
This report is brought to you by Sears. Memorial Day is the unofficial start of summer. It's the perfect time to get your home ready for the warmer months. To have peace of mind all summer long, homeowners want to avoid surprises during the hottest time of the year. They can follow these basic maintenance tips or bring in the experts for help. Chip Wade, celebrity home designer and expert craftsman.
Homeowners will definitely want their air conditioners working, so inspect and replace the air filter according to the owner's manual. Also, make sure to clean the inside of your washer. Warmer temperatures make these areas prone to mold growth and can even cause odors. Next, make sure you and your family stay properly hydrated and keep your refrigerator's water fresh by replacing the filter as needed. If larger issues with your appliances arise, Sears Home Services expert technicians can come to your home to perform a full 64-point inspection.
For more information, visit searshomeservices.com/summer.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Someone had the courage to say it.
We are the light of the world. We are.
It's Memorial Day 2018 over America today, where we never forget and ever honor. Thank you so much for sharing a part of your day with us. I'm Bill Martinez, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. And, you know, a lot to remember here. And in this sentiment, you know, I want you to hold just a moment and think about what is happening in the area of law enforcement. How serious is anti-law enforcement sentiment? 27 law enforcement officers have been killed by gunfire in 2018 to date. With the latest happening in Maryland, where 4 teens are now in custody, more and more of these deaths are a result of law enforcement officers being specifically targeted. Many in law enforcement attribute this to the anti-law enforcement sentiment that has seemed to dominate the nation in the last several years. They claim the sentiment is making it even more dangerous and risky for law enforcement to do their jobs and causing a shortage of officers. I mean, why not? I mean, it's tough enough to be on the job and not be appreciated, but then to have people target and want to kill you? Well, how serious is this issue for law enforcement? Is this anti-law enforcement sentiment making it less safe for both law enforcement and the public? Well, Lance LaRusso, a leading attorney, former law enforcement officer himself, author of the books When Cops Kill and Blue News, says, as a matter of fact, the answer to that question is yes. Lance, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Always good to be talking to you. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to have you here to talk about this serious issue. I mean, this anti-law enforcement sentiment is a lose-lose proposition, is it not?
It is. It's dangerous. It affects at both ends of the spectrum. It affects the officers that are wanting to leave the profession earlier, that probably would have stayed till 30 years. It affects recruiting. Recruiting is down 90% in some communities.
Wow.
And it also affects the interactions between officers and citizens, everything from the attacks that you mentioned just to the way officers treat it. There was a Facebook post that I read the other day from an officer. I'm not going to tell you what jurisdiction it was, but he's black.
Mm-hmm.
And he was discussing how horribly he's treated and singled out even among law enforcement officers by his race, being called a traitor to his race. And, you know, that's got to be one of the hardest things. I can't imagine what it's like to stand in his shoes when he's just trying to protect the community.
Exactly. I mean, what is he guilty for? You know, trying to maintain law and order. And, you know, and to be attacked not only with an anti-law enforcement attitude, but to even have your peers attack you?
Yeah, and it's actually not his peers. It's the public.
The public. Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you were saying.
No, it was the public attacking him. He was standing as a backup officer on a domestic dispute and literally was barraged with just an incredible amount of hatred from the people who were there, who had called the police because they couldn't get along with their families.
Now, this has been something that's been growing over the last decade, Lance, as you've been pointing out here, and there's been lots of things to contribute to this sentiment. But what do we do to reverse the trajectory here?
Well, the first thing we do is we get the word out of all the good things that officers do. And, for example, deal with some of the statistics. But for example, there was a study done in 2016 that looked at shootings, police shootings, and other causes of death of young black males. 120 black males a year were shot and killed by police out of 1,000 people killed. 160 black males were shot and killed by private citizens in justifiable homicides. But 4,166 black males were killed as a result of criminal acts unrelated to law enforcement a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the officers are the ones who are investigating these. That's the statistic that needs to get out. Those are the times that people need to get out in their communities and help these folks that are in struggling communities that are trying to just live their lives. The parents who are trying to put their kids on a bus stop in a bad apartment complex just want them to be able to go to school and not have people sell them drugs. So when the
exactly.
officers are there, they're there for a reason, many times called by the people who live in those communities.
Yeah. Not only sell them drugs, but recruit them into the drug culture, right?
And sex trafficking, too. Mm. I mean, that's
yes.
a whole thing that's gotten so big in the United States and just overlooked when people are talking about, the heinous criminal acts that are committed.
Well, this is, again, whether it's a drug running, sex trafficking, a lot of focus on MS-13 these days, but it's beyond MS-13. I mean, it's almost like the it is an option of choice for some reason in terms of oppression.
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons, not the least of which is, you know, it's an easy thing to do in an organized fashion when you have a large area that you're in control of. So if you were just a gang that was in a small city, you couldn't do it. But if you have an international gang like MS-13, it makes it a whole lot easier to kidnap people and then shuffle them around to different cities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sex trafficking is something that law enforcement has gotten involved tremendously on. And everybody cheers when they see that the officers have rescued some of these kids. But it's hard on these officers. I've talked to officers who have been on those task forces for 2 or 3 years and finally went to their chief and said, I can't do this anymore. I need to move to another assignment.
Exactly. Well, Lance, let's talk about what it was like, 20, 30 years ago for law enforcement, you know, not being targeted like this. I mean, you know, you had men and women staying on the job, as you say, to retirement. And now when it's a situation where they're under attack like this, you know, we're losing good people along the way here.
Yeah. And, you know, I started policing in the late 80s, and it's interesting. The old timers, as we call them, we had a couple other words for them, too, but that's more for a squad room. They were fossils. They complained about what it was like in the late 60s and 70s. And when I've talked to some of those folks, they're heartbroken right now. They said, you know, we thought we had moved beyond this, officers being assassinated on the streets, being murdered while they're eating. So this happened previously in the late 60s and early 70s. But there was a turning point, and you know, it really has come from the top. Ferguson was a tragedy that, you have a city with 21,000 people and a lie perpetuated by Black Lives Matter has changed the tide of people attacking law enforcement in the United States. Michael Brown was never shot in the back. Michael Brown was not shot with his hands up. And if you ask people on the street how many times he was shot in the back, you'll get a number. So the problem, this is what I talk about in Blue News, and all the profits, as you know, go to law enforcement charities from both of these books. I think we've donated about $20,000 so far. One of the things I talk about in Blue News is that this stuff gets, these lies get into the washing machine, if you will, of the internet, and they surface from time to time, and it's almost impossible to get rid of them. And there's real lives at risk. You know, Darren Wilson, who was cleared by a grand jury, the FBI, the Department of Justice, his internal affairs, he did nothing wrong when he shot Michael Brown, but he had to get out of law enforcement because of the threats to him and other officers. That should never be. An officer should not be have their life placed in jeopardy just for putting on a uniform.
Yeah, here's a kid, pretty good-sized kid. I mean, he was not some small kid. I mean, he was about 250, wasn't he, plus tax?
No, actually, he was a couple of pounds shy of 300.
Couple pounds. I mean, we see he's a big boy, and he already tossed the owner. You know, we see the footage where he tosses the owner of that convenience store, tosses him aside like he's a rag doll. He steals some cigarettes or cigars out of the store, and he is confronted by the officer, reaches into the officer's car, almost gets a hold of the gun, but manages to set a round off inside of the car, which is incredible. And then he walks off like as if no big deal, right?
Yeah, there were two shots fired inside of the car. One was point blank into Michael Brown's thumb, and his DNA was on the officer's gun. Mm-hmm. The other one was into the side panel of the car on the inside door panel. And, you know, the officer had every right to arrest him. And, you know, when we look at that situation over and over again, it's reviewed for months by a grand jury, but people just completely ignore it. And you talk about the shopkeeper. It's interesting. I won't give him the dignity of mentioning his name, but there was a guy who claims to be a civil rights leader said that was a shoplifting. Well, if you grab a storekeeper by the throat and steal their items, that's a forcible felony. In Georgia and a lot of states, the shopkeeper could legally shoot you for that.
Lance LaRusso is with us, leading attorney, former law enforcement officer, author of the books When Cops Kill and Blue News, and giving us the hard summary of what we're faced with today, the lawlessness that is in our culture. And we're taking a look at how serious the anti-law enforcement sentiment is and its impact it's having not only on our communities, but on the men in blue. It's 18 minutes before the top of the hour right now.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
Money! 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 Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do you do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. That's 888-794-1645. NMLS number 1136.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Interested in trading as a way to generate extra monthly income? Listen up. Before you sign up for some garbage program or awkward in-person seminar, you really need to hear about the online trader program that everyone's talking about. This is the program that allows you to get your account funded with someone else's money. That's right. Apiary Fund will gladly put up to $100,000 of their money into your trading account. And the best part? You get to keep 85% of the profits without putting in a dime of your own money. Apiary Fund and this program are growing like crazy. If you're looking for a way to generate extra income every month and finally learn how to win trades like the pros, just call 800-342-2968. Leave your email address on our voicemail and we will send you all the exciting details of how to trade Apiary Fund's money and not your own. Call 800-342-2968. And again, just leave your email on our voicemail to get your free report on how you can trade someone else's money. Call 800-342-2968. That's 800-342-2968.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always priced less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
Send your emails direct, NSA free, to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
He's our wrestling word. He's our
wrestling. Hey, and don't be shy. We'd love to hear from you, good, bad, or indifferent. Let us know your thoughts. Get involved in the conversation. It's welcome, dear. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. And, you know, some special sayings for this Memorial Day that you might hold to your heart. Aaron Kilburn said, "The dead soldier's silence sings our national anthem." Patriotism, Mark Twain said, is supporting your country all the time and your government when it deserves it. Billy Graham said, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. And Thomas Campbell was quoted, "The patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree." The patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree. Well, Ted, these are powerful words and something to ponder on this rather hallowed day, Memorial Day, that we'll never forget and ever honor. You know, Lance, I've always, this has been an ongoing conversation and challenge that I've been hit with over the years. Whenever we come to Memorial Day, I know the natural tradition and salutation is Happy Memorial Day. And I can think of it being happy because we are free. But it's hard to say happy when you think of the price that has been paid over the history of our great country for the freedoms we enjoy this very day.
Now, you know, I look at it as a request that one day out of 365, we take that day however we decide to remember. But keep in mind that the sacrifices of people who were strangers to us allow us to have a radio show where the government is not monitoring everything we say and telling us what we can and cannot talk about.
Exactly. And because of what they have done, and as you and I were talking about off air, you know, how many vets are involved in law enforcement today?
Oh, there's an incredible amount. I'll tell you what, I was in a police department with about 350 or 400 people. Mm-hmm. And when Desert Storm came up, Desert Shield, then Desert Storm, there was a very big concern that if every one of the citizen soldiers was activated, and a bunch were, but if every mm-hmm. one of them were activated, we'd probably lose a third of the department.
Wow.
And that's, you know, you mentioned before, what could we do to turn this tide? Another thing we can do is, when you see officers on the street, when they're eating lunch or getting a cup of coffee or just, you know, gassing their cars up, go up and say hello.
Yeah.
Get to know them. You know, they're veterans, they're preachers, they're youth pastors, they're little league coaches. I've met some of the finest people that I've ever met in my life wearing the uniform.
Yeah. Well, the thrust has been in recent years that there is, you know, community engagement involved in, and that engagement goes both ways, to your point here, Lance.
It does. You know, and I was involved. I was amazed when Eric Holder said we need more community engagement. Clearly, he was clueless about it because the crime prevention programs have been going on for 40 and 50 years. It actually gave rise to the broken windows theory, the much maligned and misunderstood broken windows theory. But you're right, and I can't tell you how many times I would be driving down the street, somebody would just wave to me. You know, I may have come from a bad call dealing with a domestic dispute or a natural death or something, and someone just waved or someone said, hey, appreciate you being here when you showed up to get a cup of coffee someplace. It means a tremendous amount to the officers, and I tell them all the time that you have no idea through radio interviews, through other things that I do, through TV interviews, I know the public supports them, and when they come up and say something or – as you know, in Harris County, Texas, we had an officer, Darren Goforth, was killed while he was gassing his car up. And a few days later, there was a deputy close to that area who was gassing his car up, and an older gentleman stood there with his back to the deputy.
Mm.
And he said, hey, is there anything I can do to help you? Sit down, I'm just watching your back.
Wow.
That just means a tremendous amount to them.
Exactly. Well, something like that, again, it reminds and encourages officers for you know, why they got into, you know, into this job. I mean, let's face it, some are just wired, and in most cases wired that way, but that doesn't mean that their job isn't important. And when you think of the culture that we're currently in, and I say the cultural manifestations of lawlessness, I mean, lawlessness continues to be on the rise here. I mean, to the point that what are men in blue are ambushed like this. I mean, that we have these kind of murders that are taking place upon the people that are, you know, have sworn to serve and protect our communities.
Well, fortunately, now we have a president who is supporting law enforcement and stopping to look out after them, you know, coming and personally saying hello to the people that protected him when he's in a city or as he arrives or when he's leaving. But, you know, the biggest crisis that I see, and I've been preaching about it for the past 3 or 4 years, in any other profession, if we were losing the best and the brightest at the 20-year mark and we were no longer able to recruit the best and the brightest, we would call that a crisis.
Yes.
And that's a problem because the alternative, and Rahm Emanuel is one of the people who said, well, we need to lower our standards so we can get more people. Nobody wants standards lowered in law enforcement. That is not the answer, and that is clearly a problem, you know, in the making. But, you know, we need to support these officers so they'll stay and then encourage other people to get into it. You know, people talked about the Ferguson effect, and a lot of people bristled up about that officers weren't doing their jobs because they were worried about, you know, being in the media. It's actually more of the Marilyn Mosby effect, that you would do what's right. You would do, you know, you would do your job as you were trained to do it, and then somebody would conjure things up and have you arrested. And
right.
What's happening in Baltimore is being watched very carefully by a lot of people in law enforcement because, you know, some of the things that have come out about that prosecution were terrible. Nobody would tolerate that as to any other officer. And yet we see, again, an officer who was killed last week in Baltimore was run down with a car, was run down by a person who was let out of prison who was supposed to be or was let out of a house arrest. With multiple juvenile charges and break and entering charges.
Yeah, this is incredible what is going on here. As you say, the Mosby effect. But this is what happens when you disengage from the rule of law. And this has been going on for quite a while, Lance. It's not just. It just seems that it's all come to a head here, probably in the last. Five to 10 years, where it's really pronounced and it's almost acceptable. It's like, are you kidding me? How is this acceptable? How is it that we, the people in Main Street America, are just not outraged enough to this point that we need to protect and watch the sixes of the men in blue who are taking care of us?
You know, I was on CNN about a month and a half ago now, and they asked what the problem was with these two particular shootings, and I said, don't fight with the police.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
If you look at these situations and confrontations, I mean, we have officers, for God's sakes, going up to a 17-year-old who doesn't belong on a high school campus and telling them to leave, and the first thing they do is fight with the officer. And I don't mean wrestle. I mean punching them in the face.
Yeah.
And, you know, that type of lawlessness is dangerous for society to begin with. You know, we have a court system. We have an opportunity for you to bring a civil suit. There's plenty of things you could do, but fighting with the officer is not the answer. And we saw this with Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We've seen this with other officers recently in California with the person that everybody said was shot in the back. He wasn't shot in the back. He was shot in the flank. You know, we expect officers to be superheroes, to see at night with infrared vision, and to be able to know whether something is a cell phone or a gun in low light or no light when a person's actions are indicating everything other than a surrender to the officer's authority.
Exactly. And it's by the grace of God that some of these, and you get some of these perpetrators that want death by officer. It's their own suicide, but they want an officer to kill them. And how these officers, I mean, we don't hear about those, you know, nanosecond decisions that are made by the men in blue that keep them from, you know, fulfilling somebody's wishes. And sometimes it happens, but many times it doesn't happen because after everything is all said and done, Lance, how many officers, online officers, are actually involved in a shooting?
Well, it's an interesting point because then when cops kill, I interviewed officers who were involved in shootings, officers who had been shot in the line of duty, and family members who got a phone call they dreaded. So we have officers in the United States, probably about 1 million, depending on which federal agencies you follow or count. About a quarter, about a third of law enforcement officers are assaulted every year. Officers make about 13 to 14 million custodial arrests. I mean, handcuffs on person going in the back of a car per year. Yet they shoot and kill about 980 people a year. So if you look at the number of arrests and then for citizen contacts, if you multiply that number of arrests by about 6 to 10, according to the folks that keep the thinking hats on all the time, you know, you're talking about 110 million contacts a year, and officers shoot and kill 980 people a year. If you just look at the number of violent felons who are released every year, it is amazing that officers don't shoot more. And I teach about 2,000 officers a year from the United States, Canada, and several other countries. And I ask this question, how many of y'all could have legally shot someone and did not? And almost invariably, every hand in the room goes up.
Wow, that's and these numbers are incredible. And these are men and women, our community, that have families, that leave home every day and hope and pray that they get to come home and be with their families once again. And they're subjected to this kind of anti-law enforcement sentiment. This is, if we the people do not stand up against this and do what we can to protect the men in blue and even let the media know that this propagation of anti-law enforcement sentiment is unacceptable, plays into the hands of lawlessness and lawless people. And, you know, that is a lose-lose proposition. It just doesn't work that way. Lance, as always, we appreciate you coming on and sharing the facts with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lance LaRusso, leading attorney, former law enforcement officer, and author of the books Peacemaking and When Cops Kill. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. It's a couple of minutes before the top of the hour. We've got more coming up as we celebrate and honor Memorial Day 2018.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my leg's feeling really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was Extendivite. Did you know that I'm about 75% better? I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water.